God's grace, His truth, His love be with you today through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you all for a few moments about truth. Truth, about having a right perspective on it in the midst of a world that has all different kinds of ideas about what truth is. I want to ask you a question here. When we look at truth, should we look at the world as Christians as good and evil, black and white, right and wrong? Or should we just see everything kind of in big shades of gray? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Namely, something that's outside of us, that's universal, timeless, never changing, that we need to just acknowledge or deny in some cases. I mean, people do. Or is truth something that's relative? You ever hear that phrase? Which means you can have a different truth for each person. They can each choose, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth, I choose my truth. You can't say I have the wrong truth and you have the right truth because we all have different truths. Relative truth, big in our world today. Let's talk about whether truth is absolute or relative. Whether it's something outside of us to acknowledge or something inside of us that we can create. And I know you know the answer to this, but my goodness, we live in a world that's all messed up on this. So let's refresh ourselves in this today by looking at God's Word and seeing what God tells us about this very thing. Truth. What is it? Well, first of all, if you think about these two types, absolute versus relative, if you go back a few years in our American culture, maybe to the 50 years or so, do you think we were a little more on the side of absolute truth back then? Right versus wrong, good versus evil. The belief that some things were right that were are always right, and some things are wrong that are always wrong. It seems like that when you look at our culture. You know, it was the Allies versus the Nazis. There's the good guys versus the bad guys. You look at school, which a lot of you grew up in those days, there was a right answer and a wrong answer. And they'd even mark a wrong answer with a red pen. You go to morals. There was more of the idea in those days. There's the right way to live, and there's a wrong way to live. You go to movies and TV shows. Remember those days? You ever watch those old westerns? Like the good guy? Like even, I think in Chuck Connors' The Rifleman, one of my favorite movies or TV shows, I just thought of this week. He actually did always wear a kind of a white hat. It was a light hat, anyway. And the bad guys in the show, you can always tell, they're always wearing a black hat. And the good guy in those days was always, he knew the right way to go. There was no moral ambiguity. The guy was clear. This is the right thing to do. He stands up against the villain who's doing the bad thing. But the good guy, standing in the truth, has all strength because he knows he's in the truth on the side of good to bring justice to victory. And you saw that, I think, in churches years ago, too, where they would preach, this is absolute truth, and there is a way to be saved, and that one way is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So, don't you think years ago, you know, there was a lot of shades of gray back then, too, in the culture, but more so leaning toward absolute truth, right and wrong, good and evil, black and white, versus today. Well, let's talk about today. What do you think about today? Do you think that this is still believed on in general by our culture at large? Do they see black or white or shades of gray? Mostly, everything is a big shade of gray. It's not absolute truth, something outside of us, from God, that's universal, timeless, where the right's always right and the wrong's always wrong. But now, it's up to each individual to determine what's true for them. Relative truth. You think about in schools, right? You used to learn right and wrong, and here's the red mark X when you get it wrong, right? There's a lot out there these days. You can't even use a red pen to say no, you're wrong on a homework anymore if the teacher grades it, because that might hurt the child's self-esteem. You know, if he thinks 2 + 2 = 5, well, that might be his truth. Let's just be gentle with him about that and then kind of bring him around maybe, but... You know, in morals, think about this. You say to someone, you know, to have sexual relations outside of marriage is wrong. They'd say today, no, well, that's your truth, but it's not my truth. I have a different truth. I think it's perfectly okay. You have yours, I got mine, we should both be happy. This is my truth. You know, get off of my case. You think about, in schools again, gender confusion, right? You hear, remember 1 year ago, in August, 2017, in California, there was a little girl who knew another little girl in kindergarten, knew a boy in kindergarten. When they came back as first graders, she called them by his boy name, Jimmy or whatever it was, but then he reported her to the principal because he now identifies as a girl, and the little girl didn't know that, and she got in trouble and interrogated by the principal for an hour because his truth, even though he was entirely boy, was to consider himself a girl, and she had to acknowledge his truth. Otherwise, she has broken a major rule of modern society, that each person can have his own truth, or her own truth, whatever it may be. You get it? Think about movies, too. Did you have, in the old days, the good guy was the good guy, and the bad guy was the bad guy, white hat versus the black hat. I can't enjoy movies a lot anymore, unfortunately, because the heroes are as shady as the bad guys. Have you found that? You know, you go watch this show, the hero, he just slept with the girl who's the villain, he didn't know it. The next day he wakes up, she's the villain, he's got to kill her. And I'm like, but he's a liar, he's sleeping around, and he just blasphemed Christ's name. How am I supposed to root for him to win? I don't even have any interest. You know, when I watch like the Star Wars movie that came out, right? One of the recent ones, the rebels, in this case, they're such shady characters to me. I'm like, I don't care if they win. In fact, maybe the Imperial Empire should win. At least they'll organize the universe. I think that when I'm watching this. So it's that way in churches too. You know, liberal churches I'm talking about will preach, as a presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, the previous one, had said. I listened to her sermon one time. She was speaking to a congregation. She said, on this verse, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And she preached it. Jesus said, I am a way, a truth, and a life. She said, in my faith tradition, I talk about Jesus. But in a Muslim's, he'd talk about Muhammad. But we're all saying the same thing. They have their truth, I have my truth, and they're all the same. And we can each choose, and it's all fine. So you see, in our modern day, it's all relative, isn't it? Isn't that true? For the most part, people see, it's all shades of gray. You got your truth, I got my truth, and boy, you better not step and say someone else is not in the truth, because then you're breaking that big rule that everybody has their own truth, and it's all relative, and you choose your own and create your own. Well, let's see if that's the right thing. Is that the perspective that we should have as Christians? What does God teach us in His Word? Let's open up and think about how God sees the world. And what we want to do as Christians is match it. Be like God in terms of how we see things, right? Because if we're in alignment with Him, that's good. Let's see how God looks at things. For example, Isaiah 45, we'll start there. It says, verse 18, thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, He is God, who formed the earth, He made it, He established it. He didn't create it a chaos, He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I didn't say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in chaos. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. So what do you think? Is God relative, truth, or absolute? Where does truth come from according to that verse? God, He is the truth. There's a truth outside of us that God says, I declare the truth. I'm not leaving you in chaos. You know, when God gives the Ten Commandments, He says, this is right, and this is the wrong way to go. And there are blessings if you go in the right way, and there's curses if you go in the wrong way. Does that sound like black and white thinking to you? Or is that all shades of gray? Black and white thinking, right. Think about when God looks down on the earth. He sees, let's look at this for example, Psalm 11. It says here, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and His soul hates him that loves violence. That's pretty familiar in the Bible, isn't it? The righteous and the wicked. What does that sound like? The good guys and the bad guys. The white hats and the black hats. Not that anybody is righteous on their own, because the righteous also sin, but when they do, they confess it, repent, turn to God, get forgiven, and then seek the right way to do the right thing. The wicked just go after wicked ways. If you look at, is truth timeless and unchanging, or is it flexible and fluid and just morphing into different things as the culture rolls through the ages? Well, let's listen to this. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Say, firmly fixed. His truth never changes. It's universal also. Is it universal? Does it apply to everybody? Let's look at this verse, for example, in Acts 17. Paul's preaching, and he says to the Athenians, he says, "The times of ignorance God overlooks, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed the day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." Does that sound like absolute universal truth or relative just for each individual? Absolute universal. Do you know God even gets very upset in the Bible when people don't want to mess this up and give a totally different perspective on truth? Look at Isaiah 5, for example, which says this. All right, God says, verse 20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." God says, when it comes to the truth, you're turning things, everything upside down. And God doesn't like that, turning everything upside down. But that's the culture, isn't it? You know, it used to be there were, you know, two genders. Now it's like Baskin Robbins. There's 31. Take your choice. What do you want to be? And we better all affirm it because everybody has their own truth. I would challenge anybody in the world today, at least look into the scriptures, and find for me one place where God is like, that's a hard situation. I really don't know the difference between right and wrong here. Black and white, it's just, you know, it's all shades of gray. I'm at a loss. Have at it. Have fun. I don't know. God ever say that? No. Not one verse, not one instance, not one place in a moment of time in the history of forever has God ever been like, it's all shades of gray. Have at it. It's free for all. Choose your own. He says, there is a truth. It's outside of you. It's absolute. I am the truth, and it comes from me, and your job is to acknowledge it and live in it and walk in the way of life. And where do we find God's truth? You guys tell me. Where are we going to find it? You know? The Bible. Look at what Jesus says about it. Here, turning to John 17, for example, in verse 16 and 17, over here this way, he says, "They, the disciples, are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in thy truth, God. Thy word is truth." So where are we going to find absolute truth? According to Jesus, our Lord. In God's word. This is true. Every word of God proves true. Says Proverbs, he's a shield to those who take refuge in. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." All scripture is inspired by God, says Paul. Peter says, "No prophecy ever came by the impulse of man." In other words, just people's own interpretations. He says, "But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So where's truth come from again? From God. And he puts it into his book. And you know that we actually get saved and come from death to life by a knowledge of the truth. Just let that sink into you for a second. We don't always talk about it that way, but it's true. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who keeps my word will never see death. And if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So what does the truth do? Freedom. Freedom. Truth brings freedom. And the reason Jesus came, he told Pilate, "For this I was born. For this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So how do you get saved? By coming to a knowledge of the truth. And the beautiful word is that the truth is not only his word, it's not only reality that God has, but also it is a person. God himself is truth. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. So Jesus says, I am the truth. And if you want to have salvation, escape death and live forever, John 17, Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that beautiful? That we come to salvation through knowing the truth, and the truth is in Jesus. And the Bible says, a people without understanding, though, come to ruin, Hosea 4:14. But Peter says in 2 Peter 2, we escape the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Isn't that fantastic? Do you know the truth today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you believe his word? Then you're of the truth. And if not, keep hearing, that he may work faith in you, that you come to know it. Of course, I know you know it. But let me ask you this question. Take a big breath. Moving to next phase of sermon. Okay. Consider this question, if you would. When you go out into the world today, the great culture that we're living in, and you say, I believe in absolute truth, and I know that truth is in this word, the Bible, and what it says is true, and what's true and right is always right, what's wrong and is always wrong, what are they going to treat you like? Are they going to be like, gee, thanks for telling us that? What are they going to do? Well, get ready for it. The Bible teaches us. Number one, they're going to start to look at you like you're nuts, like you're confused, like something's, they just don't, like they're confused. Pilate said to Jesus said to Pilate, for this I was born, for this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. And what did Pilate do? What is truth? I don't get it. I'm confused. So number one, if you start preaching and speaking this, I believe in absolute right and wrong, in our culture, they're going to be like, I don't get it. I'm confused. I don't understand. Like Pilate, what is truth? Second thing that's going to happen is they might even get angry and try to harm you. Remember what happened with Jesus? Jesus in John 8, he says to the Jews, you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You do what your father did, the devil. For he's a murderer from the beginning. The devil has nothing to do with the truth. Think about that. The devil, who's the deceiver of the whole world, who teaches relative truth, has nothing to do with the truth. It's not even on his scoreboard. It's not even on his radar. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. That's the whole world is in his power, in a sense. But because I tell the truth, Jesus says, you don't believe me. So, and then they sought to kill him. A few verses later, they took up stones. We got to kill this guy for what he's saying here. They want to kill him for preaching the truth. So what might you expect if you go out into the world today and start living like I'm telling you and God's telling you? There is absolute truth. It's outside of us. It's never changing. It's universal. Right is right and wrong is always wrong. And there is a way. The truth is in Jesus and in his word. What would they do to you? Well, they might get angry. They'll be confused. They might even try to hurt you. That's all right. And then also, they're also going to call you crazy. Let's open up here to Acts chapter 26. Let's see what Paul happened to Paul here. Paul is giving his testimony before the king, Agrippa. And he says, the Christ must suffer, says Paul. And being the first to rise from the dead, he'll proclaim light, both to the people and to the Gentiles. As Paul thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are mad. Your great learning is turning you mad. You're crazy. You're nuts. You've lost it. You're out of your mind. But Paul said, I'm not mad, most excellence, Festus, but I'm speaking the sober truth. Isn't that great? Say sober truth. Sober truth. That's all we're saying when we speak the truth of this word. Sober truth. But the world's going to say, you're mad. You're nuts. You've lost your mind. Can I give you an example where people have called me that? Like, for example, when I was at the other Lutheran denomination seminary, not our denomination, but I was there for a year, I had an ethics class, and they had me write a paper on one ethic topic, and I wrote on abortion. All right? You can choose of their seven topics. I chose abortion. The teacher had me stand up and present my paper at the end of the thing, you know, and I gave it, and she said, Greg, great job. Concise, cogent, convincing, well argued. But just one problem, though. You didn't mention the other side of the argument. You said that abortion was wrong and not to be done, and it was a sin, but you didn't say also that it's fine and dandy, that it's right and good and acceptable too. You didn't give the other side. And what would you say if you're in the front of the class? That's what I said. I said, well, frankly, professor, I didn't give the other side because there is no other side. The right way is to go after it and preserve life and not take innocent life. And she thought I was nuts, basically. A student had to come up afterwards and say, good job, Greg, I was waiting for someone to say that. They don't say that around here. Good job. And I was like, isn't it obvious? But just like you said, Kareem. Another time was not when I was sent up to the seminary to be reviewed by the professors, as you all have heard that story 1,000 times, but when I got sent up then right after that to New England to be reviewed by the Bishops Committee of New England, and they were concerned that I was saying that the Bible is God's word without error as given to the apostles and prophets, and that it's fully trustworthy with respect to the truth. And they said, after interviewing a while on this, they said, would you please step out for a while? We're going to have a powwow to talk what to do with you. Well, when I came back in, one of their recommendations was, you need to see a psychologist. That's what they said. They recommended I had to see counseling because no one can look at the Bible that black and white and say that it's God's word without error without having a mental disorder. You need to see a psychologist. And I answered them. I said, you know, I didn't pull this out of a hat, this belief. Christ says Scripture can't be broken. And if I'm going to be a Christian and call myself after his name, shouldn't I confess what he confessed? And they said, still, you need to see a shrink. You're going to be considered mad and crazy if you believe in absolute truth and that this Bible is true. But guess what? Jesus said it's true. The apostles did. I better believe what they believe. Otherwise, why even call myself a Christian? Should just be something else. Let me ask you, who's the crazy one here anyway? We who believe in absolute truth from God, or the world who makes up their own truth and relative truth? Which one's really crazy? Okay? Let's look at that for a second. I'll tell you, there's one place I've found in all the world that relative truth, creating your own truth, works. You know where that is? Only one place in the world. Guess. A liberal campus of the college or a seminary, right? That's the only place I've ever found that this kind of stuff seems to make sense. In the real world, it doesn't. In school, you can write 2 + 2 = 5, and they won't mark it wrong with a red pen. They'll preserve your self-esteem. But in the real world, I'm not driving over a bridge made by an engineer who believes 2 + 2 = 5. Would you? Wouldn't do it. He better get 2 + 2 = 4, or I'm not going. It doesn't work in the real world. Absolute truth is just the way it is. Relative truth only works on a campus, a liberal one, or seminary. Think about this situation. I thought of this week. What if you're standing on train tracks, okay, and there is a train charging toward you with big black smoke. It's coming at you. That's absolute truth. That's outside of you. It's coming towards you. But you say, you're scared, so you close your eyes and you say, no, my truth is that I am on a tropical island on a beach sipping a margarita. And everybody around me better confirm that I'm on a beach sipping a margarita or I'll get angry with them. You say, no, there's a train coming, get off. They're like, you're a hater, you abusive, brutal bully. Let me have my own truth. Well, guess what? There's absolute truth coming at you. You better wake up. or there's a rude awakening. Relative truth, your own chosen created truth, only works on a liberal college campus. It doesn't work in the real world. And when I say Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father but by Him, what's the world say to that? No. We all have our own truths. We can go in any direction and all get to heaven because we have our own truths. Is that real? Does that work in the real world? Well, let's just imagine this. Let's say you're off the coast here on a sailing ship, right? We like to sail. And the sailing ship sinks in a terrible storm that hits upon us like lightning, with lightning. And we all get onto rowboats, four different rowboats. And as soon as ever the storm's passed, it's like glass, the whole sea. There's not a breath of wind or a ripple. And all the directions look equal in every direction you're looking, north, south, east, and west. But you have a chart and you say, but guys, the reality is you gotta head west because it's only 20 miles to Florida. We can just go and we'll be home by dinner. But they say, you're just crazy. You're out of your mind. All the directions look the same. We should be able to choose whatever direction we go. And one heads off to the east toward Portugal. One heads north towards Nova Scotia. One goes south towards South America. Who's the crazy one? All right? They're not all equal ways. There's one absolute truth around you that says the one direction of salvation is west. And I start rowing to the west. Guess what? 20 miles? 5 miles an hour? Rowing? I'll be home in 4 hours. I'll be home by dinner and I will sleep in my own bed. Relative truth only works on a liberal college campus. In the real world, there is one way. There is a reality and we got to live it. And God gives it to us because He says, I want you to live. Come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is in Jesus Christ. And having the truth, it will make you free, set you free to life with me. And that's beautiful. So think about this. The lies of the devil that the world understands and believes is there is no God. You're all evolved from pond scum. You're an animal. You're an insignificant speck. It's survival of the fittest. There is no right and wrong. There are no absolute rules. No accountability. It's a free-for-all. You'll only go around, live it up, create your own truth. That's what the devil says. That's relative truth, and it doesn't work in the real world. God says, don't fall into the world's delusions, my people. And I know you know the truth, but let's be affirmed in it today. It's something that God gives to us. It's from God. And let's conclude this sermon with this. God says, I now speak to you through Greg, and I speak to you the truth. It's the Spirit of Jesus speaking through Greg. And here's the truth. God says, the truth is, I created you, and I created the whole world. And you've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the truth is, you became subject to death. But the truth is, I love you. And I have so loved you that I gave my Son to die for your sins on the cross, that you, believing on me, might have eternal life from me. I raised my Son in truth on the third day, and the truth is that the good news of the gospel is the power of salvation to everyone who has faith. And to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins through His name. The truth is, in Jesus, you are forgiven, you are loved, you have eternal life, and you are my own child. And all the way through your life, the truth is, I am with you. I am with you always to the close of the age. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll rescue you. I'll honor you. I will show you my salvation and give you a long life. And I, who began a good work in you, the truth is, I'm going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The truth is, Jesus is coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And the truth is that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Even those who believe in relative truth, they will have to bow their knees in terror and chagrin. But you, who have had my truth, will bow with glory and joy and freedom and peace in my kingdom forever with great things from my hand. So let the world have their dreams and their relative truth. That is a drug trip, friends. That is a delusion. It's not real. It only works in that college campus. It doesn't even work there. But we, as Christians, by God's grace, have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the really great thing about that is the truth is in a person, Jesus Christ, and he loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.